Joshua chapter number 1, we're going to look at our 12 stops tonight, and then on Sunday night, I'm going to hand out some. I know a number of you have mentioned how much you've enjoyed the series and that interested in having a written copy of the 12 stops, and I'm going to have something for you on Sunday night to pass out. Don't know what we're going to preach about on Sunday night, but I think we're going to talk a little bit more about prayer as we finish up. I know we spent a lot of time talking about prayer this past month, but I think we only scratched the surface of how prayer is something we should always give attention to. And I know that I've grown in my prayer life as the time went along, and I know that I have a lot more to go. This is one area I think that we could all work on. And this series has taught me a way to pray, and that keeps my prayers fresh and on track and beneficial. And I think I say it every single time when we start it, you know, there's no magical formula, there's no magical time. If you're beginning a prayer journey, then it might be something that lasts only 10 or 15 minutes. And if you're a seasoned prayer warrior, it might be something that you spend multiple hours alone with the Lord. I remember reading in biographies about men that spent 3 or 4 hours, you know, every day and the Word of God and in prayer time, and they felt like if they didn't get to spend their 4 hours alone with the Lord, that they'd be in trouble. And they felt like that's what they needed for the day. And it's not a magical formula. It's drawing closer to God and letting God draw closer to you. And so there's 12 different stops on this prayer journey. And as we mentioned before, if we average 5 minutes, and obviously some people might not spend 5 minutes on the time of waiting, or some people might not spend 5 minutes on the time of watching. Some people might not spend 5 minutes on some of the other ones, but you could tell, you know, confession sometimes takes a little bit longer than 5 minutes. Interceding is something that sometimes people could spend an hour alone, just if they had a prayer list of things that God put upon their heart. And, you know, whether interceding or petitioning or singing, all those different things are things. It's not about the time limits. It's about getting our hearts ready to spend time with the Lord. So we're going to go through the 1 through 9 very quickly here, like we do, just for people that are new, but also as a fresh perspective in case you didn't get a chance to write down. And so we're going to look at the first one we talked about is praising. And it's, why do we do this? It's to get a fresh perspective of who God is. We mentioned if our hearts are right with the Lord and we see who God is and we praise Him. And on Sunday night, my hope is to give you not only some type of maybe laminated copy of the 12 things, but also to give you a little bit on other pages. So I guess give me a little description of maybe some of the attributes of God that I use in a time for praising. We recognize who He is. We see who He is. And it gets our heart ready. If we go to God worn out and distracted and overwhelmed, our prayers are going to be selfish. Our prayers many times aren't going to be God-focused. And that's what we're doing. We're going to the God of the universe, and we're bringing our requests to Him and saying, God, I need your help with this. And God, I see you. I see you as someone who loves me. I see you as infinite and never changing. And I see that you can do all things, and I believe you can do all things. And then the second, and the Bible tells us to praise God. It's not just something that we just put on there. It's something you praise God. On Sunday night, I'm going to give you some of the resources I used also in the study. I told you before that some of the ideas are not new with me. They took some different ideas, and we changed them around to make it work to where I thought the Lord was leading. But this praising idea is something that is important. I don't think we praise God enough. I don't think we can praise God too much. Second thing is waiting. And this might be something that is a little different for many of us, is this idea of waiting on God. Be still, know that I am God. There is more than one time that you're going to see here that there's a time where we don't need to be talking. And I know that we don't always have to verbalize our prayers. I mean, that can be, we can pray silently. We can do it in a closet time. You know, sometimes it's appropriate to do it silently. I like to talk out loud. Not because of the fact I like to hear my voice, it's because of the fact that it keeps me awake and keeps me focused. And sometimes I like to even walk when I'm talking to the Lord. Number one, it's good exercise, but number two, it keeps me physically alert and mentally alert as I'm talking to Him. But this idea of waiting on God is the thought that I'm just going to be quiet for a little while. I'm going to let my soul be surrendered to God. I'm going to give myself over to the Lord. I'm going to give myself completely over to this prayer to God. You say, oh, that sounds kind of weird, or that's not hard to do. To silence all the other voices in your life, to calm down all those other things that are going a million miles a minute. That's why it's important to do in the morning time, because if you try to do it later on, sometimes I try to get ready early and I try to do it in my back office at times, and it just doesn't work that way. It's best to do it when there's quietness, nobody else around. You say, well, wouldn't I do that? You have to work that time out, but it's waiting on the Lord. I'm entering into the presence of God. I just remember how good he was. I just remembered how perfect he is and how holy he is. And I'm just waiting. I'm just going to sit and be still and know that he's God. I'm going to realize he's God. And I told you before, during this time, I imagine myself entering into the presence of God, and I'm boldly entering through the throne of grace. I'm looking to obtain mercy. I'm looking to get help in that time of need. The third thing is confession. And this is an important part. Some people have confession all the way at number one thing, because the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. And I understand that point. I also understand the point that many times the things that we know is iniquity, we know is wrong. Other things in our lives that are hindering our walk with God that we don't even realize is sin, sometimes God's got to bring those things to our mind. That's why I like the Psalms 139 verse. But we need to make sure our hearts are right and clean, so we're praising the Lord and we're waiting on him. We're spending a few minutes silence ourselves and silence everything. We realize what we're getting ready to do. We realize who we're getting ready to talk to. And then we confess, because we want our hearts to be clean and right. The next step is scripture praying. And thing keeps on skipping, doesn't it? Scripture praying. I call these prayer promises. But we pray with God's authority. How do you do that? You use his word. You remind him. And you say, Lord, you've told me this in your word. This is what I'm trying to do. Lord, you've said, call unto me and I will answer thee. God, I want you to answer me. You said that you'll show me great and mighty things which I know not. Lord, this is what I'm looking for. I'm trusting the Lord with all my heart. Lord, I want you to lead my steps. I'm entering in boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. It's using scripture references and scripture verses, and there are so many. I know we mentioned a few. You know, Romans 8:28, Psalms chapter 37, verse 4, 1 John 1:9. Just so many great, rich promises that God's given us that we can use during our prayer time to say, Lord, these are the things I need. Lord, you've promised me these things. Now, I want to commune with you. I want to speak to you. I want to talk with you. I want you to help me during these times. The next one is watching. And as we mentioned before, watching may be something that's a little bit unique in most of our prayer circles. But watching means that I am spiritually alert. It's taking a few minutes to set aside and say, Lord, I want to make sure this request and these prayers are spiritually led. I want you to get glory in this. I want the Holy Spirit of God to lead this prayer. He knows what I need to say. He knows what I need to be praying for. He knows my heart. He knows what you want me to be praying for. And I want to be spirit-led. Also, not only do I want to be spirit-led, I want to be aware of the fact that there is a devil out there. There is an enemy. And that's going to keep me alert. It's going to say, you know what, I'm going to turn my cell phone off, or I'm going to put it on silent. I'm going to make sure I don't have any there, because the devil is going to do whatever he can to bring things and objects into our life to cause us to get off track when it comes to praying. Also, I'm aware of the needs. Spiritually alert. Alert the fact that there's a world that's lost and dying. That there are spiritually alert the fact that my family is under constant attack from the devil, and that there's people who are being thrown to the wayside by the devil. That I'm spiritually alert of these things, because it's going to put me on high priority. Because I want to be spirit-led, and because I know there is an enemy, because I know the need is great, that I need to be focused in this prayer time, and I need to bring glory to God by coming to him and saying, God, I believe and I trust in you. Help me with this. Interceding is your next one. Interceding, there's a number of things you can intercede for. That means going to God on behalf of, you know, whoever or whatever. And we put a lot of different ones up there. We talked about your family. The reason why we're going through these quickly is because we've gone through them before. I spent a lot of time on intercession, your church family, friends, the lost, our country, difficult situations. Those are things, hopefully on Sunday night, we'll give you these sheets that you can take with you if you want to. If you don't want them, that's no problem either. But that helps you to develop and begin a prayer list. You would be amazed at how many people don't have a prayer list, and you'd be amazed how many people don't spend time in prayer, and it's because they're busy. And I think that you got to realize what the most important thing is glorifying God with our lives, and we do that when we pray. Intercession is when we do something on behalf of others. We look at petitioning as something when we go to God for our personal behalfs. You know, the Lord said in the daily prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And in the model prayer, he says, we want you to ask, and he tells you to come boldly. Petitioning for own personal needs shows our utter helplessness. We need God. When we say, God, I can't do this on my own, God, even something as basic as give us this day our daily bread, we petition the needs we have. And we talked about being specific with it. If we're specific with it and God answers that prayer, God gets the glory. You talk about spiritual needs, relationship needs, health needs, physical needs. We should begin our petitions by asking the Holy Spirit. Once again, it needs to be Spirit-led. The prayer needs to be Spirit-led because we want God to get the glory in it. We don't just want God's help. In all reality, what we should desire is for God to get glory in our lives. And if the health concern is something that God wants us to keep and just live with so he can get glory off, like he did with the Apostle Paul, then that's the case. Lord, I want this to be Spirit-led. I'm praying for this end, that you get glory out of my life. The next one, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is an important one. It's remembering and saying we're thankful for things. I like putting it after the petitioning. I like putting it after the interceding, because after I've given God that laundry list of things I want help with and need help with that he's asked me, I want to remind him that I am so thankful for the things he provided before in the past, the salvation he's provided, the word of God he's provided, the Holy Spirit for leading and guiding, for a family that I have, and for my church family, and for my friends, and for, you know, there's so many things. And he says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And that list can go on and on. That doesn't even begin to talk about the physical things that he's provided with us. The clothing, the house, the car, the giving of thanks for the country you live in, even giving thanks for the trials he's seen us through and the things we're going through, the giving of thanks for the providence of God. Say, Pastor, that can become repetition. I would encourage you to break it up. On Monday, pray for thankful for certain things. On Tuesday, certain things. Each day I ask the Lord, Lord, help me think of something I never said I was thankful for. You know, it's, why am I doing that? Because I'm being Spirit-led. Today I prayed, you know, I asked him that, and he reminded me of the car I drive. He said, I don't ever remember saying thank you for it. I'm thankful for the physical blessings he gives me, but specifically finding one thing I'm thankful for every day, fresh and new. You might say, that sounds stupid. That means you're being Spirit-led, and God's revealing things to you, and God's speaking to your heart. And last one that we looked at last week, and I challenge you to consider doing this, is singing. And it doesn't want to stay up there. Singing. I don't know if you've done this or not, but this morning I sang Just a Closer Walk. And that's something that I enjoy, just looking at the words and just singing to the Lord and just uplifting my heart. Enter into his presence with singing. We spent time talking about that on Sunday night, so we're not going to re-preach all the last 4 or 5 weeks worth of messages, but we wanted to show you those different stops. The newest stop here, stop number 10, is meditating. Meditating. There it goes. Meditating. You know, meditation on the scriptures is really, I think, one of the keys to a successful Christian life. And so when we come into this spot and you've gone through all these different things, I think it's good to introduce the Bible and the Word of God into your meditation. And now you say, well, Pastor, is this my normal Bible reading? Now, it can be, but I would encourage this to be a different section. For me, what I do when I've been going through and doing is I've been taking 10 verses or 15 verses, depending on how long the chapter is in the book of Proverbs. And I go through and I spend reading through those 10 or 15 verses and finding a spiritual thought of the day to focus on and meditate on for a few minutes. The devotional hour is greatly strengthened when the believer takes time to ponder a spiritual theme in reference to God. This act of spiritual evaluation, called meditation, helps the believer discover how to apply all the truths God has revealed during prayer. So we are speaking back to God, we are looking into his word, and we are meditating and focusing on a certain truth. And as we look at it, like I said, I use the book of Proverbs. I do my daily Bible reading at another time. It can be done before. It can be done after. It can be done sometime throughout the day. But we need to put the Word of God into our hearts during this prayer time and let God speak to us and show us how we can use the Word of God and apply those truths to us every day. If we apply spiritual facts and principle to ourselves as individuals and as children of God, no meditation is really valid unless it leaves us with something we can take with us. The Word of God is so precious. The Word of God is what changes our lives. We use the scripture time, we use this prayer time to allow the Word of God to do a work in our heart. Think about what it says in Jeremiah 23:29, which is another prayer promise. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? If you want your life changed, you're going to have the Word of God in it. And you're not just going to read the Word of God. The Bible says you're going to meditate in the Word of God. And that's where you're in Joshua chapter 1. Look what it says in verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, and thou shalt meditate therein. That word meditate is talking about musing upon. It talks about thinking about and talks about considering it. And thou shalt not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And I'm not saying a prosperity gospel here, because success in our eyes versus success in the world's eyes are two completely different things. But God says if you want to be prosperous, and if you want to live a life that's going to have good success in God's eyes and by God's standard, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to meditate on the Word of God. And so when you're coming through this prayer time, you're coming through all these different times, you come to a stop and you get into the Word of God. I think using the book of Proverbs, using the book of Psalms, using the Gospels, things that are very easy to understand and enriched that we can take it. And once again, you take longer than 5 minutes if you want. You can read your chapters here if you want. But as you're reading, you're looking not to just study a lesson, not just to say I've read my chapters for today, but you're looking for a specific spiritual theme that you can take and you can take with you, and you can meditate and you can apply it to your own heart and you can apply it to your own life. The Apostle Paul mentioned this in 1 Timothy when he said, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. He's saying that as you'll meditate, which in that Greek word is speaking about to be careful, to show care in a matter. It suggests that the meditation is more than merely thinking good thoughts, but instead it's giving attention to that specifically scripture and applying it to our pondering and taking it with us for that day and applying it to our lives. I think today in the book of Proverbs, one of the verses I looked at and talked about is talking about how there's safety in a multitude of counselors, and talked about how there's wisdom. And I took that and I thought about that and I applied that to my life, and I thought about that throughout the day. And I remember how many times when I had a struggle or when I had a question, I went to the Lord and asked the Lord for leadership and guidance. And I called other people that I trust and called other people I thought about, and how God gave me answers, how God gave me clarity of thought. That's how if we meditate on things and we take verses out of the scriptures and we allow those things to rule and reign in our thought patterns and our thought life that day, it will change the way we think. Now, obviously, would we like the deep things of God? Yes. Would we like to spend time and read through long passages of scriptures and be able to apply all these things? But you're taking steps. You're taking a prayer journey. You're praying to the Lord, and you're bringing into in the Word of God, the Word that He's given to us, and we're meditating on it. Remember, it's the Word of God that changes lives. It says, it talks about how are we going to cleanse our ways? It's by taking heed to the Word of God. It's about how the Word of God is the thing that is the rock and the fire that can clean up our lives. Think about some of the benefits. Think about the benefit of meditation. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And what does that mean? That means that if you meditate on the Word of God and you consider the Word of God, you're going to be in perfect peace. How many of us really truly have perfect peace? How many of us go through each day without worrying and upset and concern about so many things that the Lord can take care of and so many things that works itself out, but instead we're worried? Why is that? Because we're worried about something else instead of keeping our mind on Him and focused on Him. How do we get our minds focused on Him? We find parts of the Bible and scriptures and we apply them to our hearts and lives, not just for that 5 minutes, but we take something and we muse about it and we consider it and we apply it to our hearts, we apply to our lives, and then as we leave, that's what we think about throughout the day. We add that to our life, we add that to our routine, and it's something that as we're considering that, there's no room to consider the other things that are stealing away our joy. The psalmist wrote many things about meditation. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the river of waters, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why is that? It's because he's meditating in the Word of God day and night. You can meditate in your frustrations. You can meditate with your concerns. You can meditate with your negativity. You can meditate and muse on a lot of things, and you can come up with a lot of things, and a lot of things are going to go out. Sometimes it's physical problems because they worry too much. Sometimes it's attitude problems because they focus on the wrong thing. Sometimes there's a lot of things we can meditate and we can muse on. But the Bible's saying if we'll meditate in the Word of God day and night, and He'll be our focus, guess what? We'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And you know what? It says we'll be prosperous. The psalmist also said, my meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. And when we meditate on God, it's sweet, and we're going to be glad in Him. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. As our thoughts are about God, they're within me, it delights our soul. And I love that word delight. We find our joy. We find the thinking thoughts about God has a tremendous depth and an understanding that will touch all areas of our life. And as we meditate, we'll rise above the things of this world, we'll rise above the things that are going on in this world, because our focus is on Him and it's on His Word, and we apply the things that His Word said. And it's not just something we hear, it's something we take and we hunger for the Lord to speak to us and show us things. And we learn something. As we learn, we take it with us. Let's go to stop number 11. As you can tell, we're getting close. This is another one that might be, people will be like, well, that sounds a little bit strange. And it goes along with maybe that waiting and that watching. But you notice that in the scriptures, there are sometimes some things that we just need to be silent. There are times in the Word of God that speaks about us listening to the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5, and Ecclesiastes is an interesting book, the book of Solomon. Sometimes there's satire, maybe sarcasm and things like that. But in Ecclesiastes chapter number 5, number 2 is an interesting verse, and verse number 1 is kind of interesting too, but verse number 2 is why I chose, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth, therefore let thy words be few. Though it's close to the idea of waiting on God, this is listening to God and asking God to lead you and guide you. Think about it. Best friends are people that are good listeners. If we truly desire to have a relationship with the Lord and commune with the Lord, there is a secret in listening. If you go to Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20, it talks about how the Lord stood at the door and knocked. And what did He say? If you open up the door, what's He going to do? He's going to come in and sup with you. Doesn't sound like when you're supping, doesn't mean there means there's a fellowship there. There is a time of communing. Doesn't mean He's going to open up, He's going to come in the door and you're going to sit there and He's going to listen to you tell Him everything He needs to know. That's just not what prayer is really meaning for us to do. There needs to be a time when we sit and we sit quietly and we allow the Lord to speak to our heart. Listening implies confidence that God truly desires to speak to us. If it's all about us just saying things and saying things and saying things and never listening, how are we ever going to get instruction? How are we ever going to get the direction? We think about Elijah and that still small voice, how God spoke to his heart. We think about even as we're meditating, as we just went through with the Word of God, we're asking God to teach us things. We're not figuring out the verse for ourselves and our own knowledge and our own intelligence, the things that we think God has told us. We're musing and considering the Word of God so He can speak to our hearts and He can apply those things to our lives through His Word and through that still small voice. During the listening aspect of prayer, you may wish to keep a notebook side by you or a piece of paper handy to record as God leads you and guides you. In an active world that seems very difficult to just sit and listen, the closer we come to the conclusion of our devotional hour, our minds will cry out for more attention and more distraction, but it's important to listen to what God has, tuning other things out of our hearts and tuning other things out of our lives, and believe that God has a solution and carefully guarding this time and saying, God, I need your leadership. What is it you want me to do today? Many times this morning, I had three or four things that I wanted to ask God for, and I'm asking for leadership. God, what is it you want me to do? And sitting quietly and listening for God to speak to my heart and mind. I mean, God's going to come to you and speak in an audible voice? I don't think He's going to do that. I'm not saying He can't. He's God. He can do all things. But I know He can lead you and guide you throughout that day, and He can show you and tell you things that you should do. And as you've gone through all the time of praising and all the times of waiting, and you've gone through the promises that you confess that your heart's ready and you're scripture praying and you're doing all these things, you get to this moment in time, you interceded on behalf of the others, you gave God your petitions, you've sang to the Lord, you've thanked the Lord, and now you've taken the scriptures, you've meditated on the scriptures. Lord, now lead me. What do you want me to do today? I want to spend some time listening to you. It's not just about what I can say to you. Instead, Lord, it's taking time to be silent. You know, much of prayer concerns the believer seeking divine guidance. Isn't that we're asking, Lord, I need wisdom. Lord, I need to be spiritually filled. Lord, I need to know what to do in this area. But how often do we take time to let God respond to us? We've laid everything out to Him and we've given everything, and He will lead and direct our steps. But maybe it's important to take some time to just listen. I know 1 Peter 3:4 is written to the ladies, because at the beginning it talks about it. But think about what the Bible says. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. A meek and quiet spirit. I think about Moses, known as the meekest man on earth during that period of time, or whenever, however you look at it. You know, Aaron was the one that was able to speak. You know, Korah was the great leader. But Moses was meek. He spoke to the Lord. He said he kind of talked to Him face to face as a friend would talk to a friend. What type of friend would we be if all we did was the talking? I got some friends that know how to do that, that love to talk, and they talk more than I do. And I always just want to word in edgewise. I know some of you know what that's like. But at the same time, I'm probably that way with some other people where I talk, and don't give a chance to other people to talk. When it comes time to talking with the Lord, consider this. Am I going to take time and let God respond to the things I'm asking? And it is something that He can speak, and He will speak to our hearts and to our lives as we allow Him to. Remember, He says He'll come and sup with us. I don't think that means He's just going to come and listen to everything we want Him to say. We want to hear from the Lord. What did Samuel say? Samuel didn't know that it was God calling him, right? Over and over, he kept on going, Eli, 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 you called me. He's like, I didn't call you, I didn't call you. Eli finally figured out it was the Lord that was calling him. And he said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And I think that should be our request sometimes. Lord, speak to us. I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to do what you command. Last but least, stop number 12 is the same as stop number one was. It's praising. You say, well, that's kind of odd. No, it's come full circle now. We prayed to Him at the beginning because He was God. We adored Him because He was God. Now at the end, we go back and we praise Him for listening to us. He has heard us. We've listened to Him. We've praised to Him. We've confessed our sins. He's got our hearts right. And now we've promised, we went all those prayer promises. We've gone through the time of watching, realizing that the Spirit can lead our prayers. He is stronger than the devil. We've gone to the part of interceding, and we realize that he has heard us and that he has spoken to our hearts. We've gone to that time of thanksgiving where we just amazed by all the things he does. And we've gone through all these different things, and we've gone through, he spoke to our hearts. He's taught us a new truth through the meditation, or reminded us of a truth. And we come to this spot, and you say, I'm just amazed what God's done. I'm amazed he spent an hour with me. I'm amazed that he's spoken to my heart. I'm amazed that he's showed me a new truth. He's reminded me of a new thing to be thankful for. He's reminded me that he is the one that's in control and that I can be at perfect peace. The Bible says in Psalms 150, verse number 6, that everything that hath breath praise the God. I do not think that we can praise the Lord too much. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Your prayer time has come to full circle. Worship should seal all praying with adoration, and we should end with this act of magnification. I put the verse up there about Mary. It says, Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. But listen to the verses after that. And my spirit have rejoiced in God my spirit, my Savior. And listen to this phrase, and think it's found in verse 48. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. Mary said that he looked at her life, and he found her faithful and worthy to be able to be called the mother of Jesus. And he says, he considered the low estate of the handmaiden. She was humble. And that's what I'm getting at, is that when we come to God and we come at the end and we realize and we see who God is and we've gone through all this and we've worshiped the one true living God, and then we look at ourselves and we realize that he has taken notice of our frail, imperfect, unholy body, the lowest state of who we truly are compared to him, and her heart rejoiced over that. And so I think as we come here and we come to this moment and this time and say, you know what, he's communed with me, he's heard me, he's promised me he's going to answer my prayers, and now it's time to glorify him. That word magnify in Luke 1:46 means to make great. Nothing can provide so meaningful a conclusion to a prayer as a statement of the greatness of God. Psalm says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. As prayer concludes, we praise God because it has been his greatness that made our devotional time even possible. It is him that we should praise, and we praise him for the future answers of prayer. We even see this in the model prayer. He starts, after this manner, pray. It says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He praises him at the beginning. But how does the prayer end? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's the end of it is, Lord, it's all about you. For it is your kingdom. It is your power. It is your glory. You deserve all that. And the word amen. When Jesus told his disciples, ye shall ask what you will and shall be done unto you, he added later on, herein is my Father glorified. God must be glorified through our prayers. Praise enables us as a prayer warrior to glorify God and to continually keep our focus on him and say, okay, Lord, it is thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory, and I'm leaving this time of prayer, and I'm not leaving this time of prayer saying that's the last time I'm talking to God. I'm leaving this time of prayer praising him and saying, Lord, it's your kingdom, it's your glory, it's your power, whatever it is you want me to do, that's what I'm going to do. My prayer time is not about just spending some time alone with the Lord so I get my prayers answered. It's, Lord, how do I bring glory to your name? How do I bring glory to your life through my life? How can I bring you glory and how can I bring you honor? He finishes it with that word, amen. And that word, amen, is something that means so be it, or it is done. It means that you agree. An old preacher used to say it this way, mark this, make your amen strong, never doubting that God is surely listening to you. This is what amen means. Never doubting that God listens to you as you finish. In Jesus' name, amen. Let it be this way. So be it. Whatever God wants, it's okay. And I know and I'm praying with certainty that God has heard and God will answer my prayers. So let us consider not how long our prayers are when we spend time with God, but let us consider how much the prayer has changed us. And as we leave this place, it's a devotional attitude to the things of this world. It's not just about praying and growing closer to God. It's not just about being in the prayer closet, because it really doesn't count or matter if you do it in the prayer closet and your life's not changed out here. Prayer changes circumstances. Prayer changes us. And what God is not, we're not trying to get our will done up in heaven. We're trying to get God's will done here on this earth. And as we praise him and as we sing to him and as we give thanksgiving and as we realize who he is and we intercede on behalf of others and we bring our petitions to him and we recognize that we should watch and we recognize that we should wait, and as we listen to him, we're trying to get God's will done here in this world. And that's why we should be praying. But that's not what many times people's prayer lives are. Let us not be careful to consider not only the length of the time we spend in God in prayer, but let us consider how much that prayer time changes us after we leave. He said amen because it's the thought, let it be done. God, your will be done in my life here in this world. Let it be done. We want God's will to be done in the politician's life. We want God's will to be done in the preacher's life, everybody else's life. But in our own lives, are we praying, Lord, thy will be done with me? And as we walk away, we've allowed God to speak to our hearts and change our lives 1 hour at a time. Remember, it started off by Jesus looking at Peter and says, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Could you not be spiritually alert for this, such a small period of time? You say you're willing to do all these things, but can you not be spiritually alert for this small period of time so I can prepare you for that day that's ahead? That's what prayer time is, preparing us and motivating us and working us under the power of the Holy Spirit of God, making sure our hearts are right, making sure that we're waiting and that we're watching and we're interceding and that we're petitioning, we're thanksgiving, we're praising him, we are listening to him and meditating on him and his word. This is the truth. Is that prayer can make a difference if we let it. So as we finish up our prayer journey, I encourage you to take some time to consider all these different things. Try implementing them even for a short period of time into your prayer life. But allow God to do a work in you. Prayer is not us getting our will done up in heaven. Prayer is God changing us to get his will done here on this earth. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed, eyes